Leafs talk, JD Bacus, Sam McKee. Leafs lose. They blow their first third period lead of the season. They lose their first game since the break. How you feeling seeing them, choke one away? Doesn't happen.
It's funny. I was thinking when I was watching this game, and especially in the second period, when the Leafs just caved in the San Jose Sharks. Like, that second period was like, okay, this is what it should look like with one of the top five, top 10 teams in the league against literally the worst team in the league. This is what it should look like.
Sharks had three shots in the second period.
It was just men against boys, an absolute thrashing. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, this is the difference between last year and other years where the Leafs didn't piss away points against horrible teams. And a big reason that they're at the top of their division is because they've been beating teams a lot of the time that they, you know, everybody has a few losses all each year to bad teams. But ultimately, the Leafs have been better against bad teams this year. And I was like, you know what? This is a good narrative to go with after the game. Really kind of, it's a good thought. And then they blow it to the worst team in the league. And you're like, well, crap. And they, you know, they still get a point and whatever. But I do think if they have to play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the playoffs because of one point, I will certainly think back to March 3rd against the San Jose Sharks.
Oh, you think this is like Marcus Semien not making the throw at first?
Oh my God, that is a perfect parallel. Yeah. And when it was a bunny of a throw to of a play, and he absolutely ruined that season. Although it definitely wasn't Tyler Chatwood and all the other guys that tried to close out.
You know, that's like my pet peeve. That's the point of reference for that season. And Sonny was so good; he was our guy. But yeah, I get the point you're making.
If the Leafs don't win the division by one point, I'll think about tonight. It's a brutal loss. And listen, long road trip, first game back. Always a weird thing. It's no matter the sport, no matter the time, no matter the team, it's always funny, it's always weird, but can't do it to the Sharks. That's brutal. It's just brutal.
What else can you say?
It's just an awful blow lead.
Well, okay, so I guess I'm a little bit, I'm not torn on it. It's a bad loss. You're up 2-0 against the San Jose Sharks. And not only to mention
I'm ready
that,
for this, like, zag. Let's get
the most egregious. I think the most egregious thing in the entire game is that they got a 4-on-3 power play in overtime.
Oh my God.
And
pass more. You should try some more passes, and then maybe Willie can shoot it into the chest a few more times. Pass. Mix in another pass, boys. Pass a little more. It's good play. Just keep passing.
Maybe one of you guys could pick it on the goalie that Colorado said, oh, if we have this guy for 10 more minutes, our season's going to be destroyed. We got to get rid of him. And so I was a little upset with that, I would say, for sure. But I got to tell you that I'm feeling this tight schedule, all right? Like, the Leafs have been packing in games here since the break. There's no sleep for these guys since they were at the Four Nations. And they're playing in the second half back-to-back. They played this brilliant second where they laid it all out there. They get a 2-0 lead. They're used to it being enough. They don't have old faithful Chris Tanev back there. And they get one weird bounce off the side of the boards, and it just lands on somebody's stick. It's a wide-open cage. And then Stolarz overplays a puck. Benoit gets completely burned on the outside. And the second one goes in. Again, another, like, wide-open cage. And you could just feel it. Like, they didn't have their legs. You could see it. They look like they dipped their skates in concrete before tonight's third period. It was brutal watching those guys out there. Even you saw the cutaways when they showed Marner after a shift. He's like huffing and puffing, and Matthews looked ill tonight. Like, I don't even know what other way to put it. He's got like the bags under his eyes. He doesn't look happy.
He looks sour all the time.
I guess I'm kind of applying the Wohl thing here, where it's like Wohl has his worst game of the season, and you're like, hey, it's a bad game. You throw it in the junker, trash it.
Sure.
And if not for the context that you just mentioned, which is like the Panthers and Tampa just refused to lose any games. Can't believe they didn't end up having an overtime game tonight. Like
2-1 win for the Panthers tonight. So yeah, does that mean they jump back ahead, or are they tied now?
Honestly, I'm not.
That's right there.
Yeah,
anyways.
It's one of the two. It's right there. They're in a three-way race. All three of these teams have been hot. Leafs at least grabbed a point. They sucked. But I didn't view tonight as like, oh, here's all the old habits. I just saw a tired ass group in a third period.
So they're tied at 79 points for sure. And I actually think that's all well said. And it's like, they've played an insane amount of hockey. Like when I looked at the schedule here coming out of the break, I'm like, they play Friday, Sunday, and then Monday night. Like it's just, that's an insane amount of hockey. Then they go back out on the road for a grueling road trip, right?
You got to play at 10:30 at night in Vegas.
In Vegas and then in Colorado, in Utah at elevation. Like that's like the two straight elevation games. Like it's a tough schedule. Having said all that, you're up 2-0 against the Sharks. Listen,
Win the game. Win the game. When they got the 4-on-3 power play, I went, put this in the net in the first 30 seconds. And Nylander shot a bunch, like you mentioned, into the crest. Marner had what I thought was just an egregious overpass, trying to get way too cute, trying to find Tavares in the slot. It's like, buddy, you're past the hash marks, and it's Gorgiev. Just pick a spot and shoot it. I thought Tavares' shootout attempt was like, what was that exactly? Anyway, like there's things to nitpick with in this game, but I thought the Sharks just looked like a young, hungry team, but full of a bunch of guys who had never played in Toronto before and couldn't wait to do it. A bunch of guys who were dead tired. And that brings me to what I think is the story of the game.
It's funny, though, like just vintage out of conference hockey team. Jack Thompson from Curtis, Ontario fires one in the net. It's like, of course he did. Like, old Jack Thompson had 78 people at the game.
I'm just glad it wasn't Lil Jagrin, okay? Like, thank God for small miracles and not having to suffer that indignity for two guys that were on the trade Lil Jagrin train, who apparently now, I think it's a little insulting.
Trust tree?
Yeah.
Just no one listening, just you and me?
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good tonight.
Yeah, he was fine.
Thought he was pretty good defensively and, like, made some good reads and, like, you know, thought he was actually pretty good tonight. He played a lot. I bet she was in the 20 range. Thought he was pretty good. So
he was, my biggest thought with him was, I was like, did you always move this well? Like, you look good.
I mean, we're used to watching Benoit. We're like, this guy can fly. 22-25 for Lily tonight, says Christian. So that's a big night.
I'm going to save my Lilligren thought for my pod tomorrow. Cause
your Lilligren.
Yes. Yeah,
Lil Jagrin.
Well, I actually will say that. I can't stand that he changed it to Lil Jagrin when he went there. Like, what? We couldn't be trusted with learning that? Half the guys called you that, screwing it up anyways, right? I'd say all of the uncles called him Lil Jagrin already. So a seamless transition. Not really sure why he couldn't entrust Leafs fans with that. Anyway, the story of the game to me is, again, maybe we've talked about this. We're still in the glow of the international best Canada. Son.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, watching the Sharks with Macklin Celebrini and thinking about the potential for, you know, my son to join them in
McKenna? Yeah.
It felt like how it must feel like if you're married and you run into your mistress at a restaurant where you're like, oh, what are you doing here? The Sharks are like a figure of my imagination. They never play in Toronto one time a year. It happens in it's March 3rd today. And I just like, I love Macklin Celebrini. I don't know how else to put it. Like, I didn't ask for the guys to cut a pack because I was just enamored watching this game. Buddy, dog on the bone, turned over how many pucks tonight? How many creative plays did he make actually where it was like, even his line mates, his buddy Will Smith, wasn't even able to pick up some of the reads that he was making. Just an incredible playmaker, incredible with the turnovers, lethal with the puck on his stick in terms of being able to create space and not let anybody get in on him. Like, he's awesome. He's so good. And I think that for me right now, he's on my Team Canada for next year. Like, I know he's a baby and maybe he hits a sophomore slump, but you got to make room for this kid.
I think there's definitely, like, when you go to the Olympics, you take way more guys, right? Like the taxi or whatever. Like, he is right now on my taxi squad, ability to play himself into the conversation of being on the real squad, no question. The thing that really jumps out to me, I mean, in overtime, I should have got them to clip it, but like you, I was just like fanboying over this guy. But he stuffed Domi in a locker
twice
behind the first one where Domi had the puck comfortably on his stick, lifts the stick, shoulder into him in one motion, gets it out front to Will Smith, who can't put it home. Like, his quick, fast, hard decisions he makes with the puck on his stick and with the puck off of his stick. Like, there's a couple times in this game where I'm like, oh, that reminded me of Matthews. That was Matthews-esque defensive play. Matthews-esque defensive stick, like just reading pucks, intercepting pucks, and passing it into dangerous areas. Like, I don't know what the quote-unquote, you know, slot pass percentage, big nerd stat there. I'm sure he's got to be up there. Because tonight, how many passes to the slot did he have? He must have had five tonight. So, and this was a audacious shootout attempt, if you're watching on YouTube. Just a young man with a ton of confidence, and he was a millimeter from scoring. I believe I got a text from a certain coworker that I may be talking to right now that said, I wish that went in. And I got to tell you, brother, I can't totally disagree.
Like I said, I'm sitting at the table, and my wife at the restaurant is like, why do you keep looking over there?
Who
I'm like,
that? What?
I'm not looking at anything.
That woman, that young woman seems to know you. What's going on?
it's impossible not to love him. Like, yeah, no, it was just a treat. And I got to tell you, Sharks coaching staff, you're going to call a timeout in overtime after that shift where he creates two scoring opportunities and then not put him out on the ice?
Yeah. I thought even there was a moment, maybe 25 seconds left. Who's 21? Is that 21 on theirs? Is that Zetterlund? Was it Zetterlund that ended up scoring? 21 on the Sharks, as I'm quickly looking here. There's a chance for him to go off, and he looked over at the bench, and he kept skating. I was like, oh, you selfish son of a... Wenberg. Yeah. I'm like, Wenberg, get the kid out there, buddy. Like, what was that move? He, like, skated right past the bench with 25 seconds left. Somebody was standing up on the bench. I'm not sure if it was him or not. But, I was totally impressed with him tonight. And if we're doing Sharks takes, what was your favorite Luke Kunin memory tonight?
Well, he took two penalties. So,
those ones...
Do you know what my favorite Luke Kunin memory was, actually? It was the fact that I've tuned in for other Celebrini games, and then I forgot that, like, he was on a team and that he was playing fourth line right wing. And I went, buddy, like, okay, Brad, I just need to say this to Brad Tree living ahead of the deadline. Listen, man, you already did the Connor Dewar trade, okay? Yeah. You don't get to do a Connor Dewar trade every single year. You gave Connor Dewar a contract extension. We're presidents of the dudes. But, like, going out there and getting the Sharks fourth line right winger because you think he can take a right-handed face off is like, don't overthink this, brother. Just Luke, do something else.
Luke Kunin is Connor Tuer. He's just Connor number two. He's the same
Connor Tuer too. Yeah, he had a chance to score. He got stuffed by Stolarz. That was the only other time I noticed him. And they took two penalties. I went, okay. So if that's the future Leafs deadline splash, you're gonna be pretty disappointing when we're doing the emergency pod.
If there is one guy that I will say I noticed tonight in a positive light on their team that's been rumored to be around, is that Ferraro. Thought that Ferraro had a bit of pop and a bit of jam in his game.
Yeah.
He got the fight with Myers after the big hit. I thought he was just noticeable defensively, jumping up. Like, as a guy, if you're looking to put on your bottom pair as a depth option kind of guy, I think he might be like dash 25 or 26 on the season. Like, he's playing for the Sharks or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if I'm a traveling scout, to me, there's definitely a world where he could contribute to a winning team. I liked his game a lot tonight. So those would be my big Sharks takeaways.
Yeah. I think that I'm actually pretty lockstep with you on that one. Celebrini. Real travesty for his growth and branding that all of his games are going to be at 10:30 at night.
Yeah. Right.
Like, just a heartbreaker. Like, tough. Actually, I got one more Sharks thought for you. Little jersey talk to start the show tonight, since it's a little bit of a loose one already.
Yeah.
That's the best sweater in hockey. And I don't even care what anybody says. That combination from the uniform, top down, helmet, everything. It's perfection. You can't beat that. Like, you cannot beat that uniform. Like, I'm sorry. I know that people are going to say Blackhawks. I agree. Blackhawks are great. Red Wings are great. But that's number one. And if they had tradition, like if they had, you know, 20 more years in the league past expansion, I think people would have that take way more frequently than they do.
I like the jerseys a lot. I think they should have black pants. I think the teal is a little too much for the pants. They had black pants with black pants with a teal stripe or a teal and white stripe. I think it would look even better, but they look good. They look really good. Yeah. You're going to look, your Macklin Celebrini jersey is going to look great hanging on the wall.
Oh, it looks so good. That's, man, Sharks talk, no competition in the market. Going to dominate. Number one Sharks podcast, A1. don't even have to like and subscribe to that one. If I get like 10 subscribers, I'll be dominating the market in San Jose. Okay, back to Leafs talk. All right, what do I got here in terms of
another another stupid Domi penalty?
Oh, bad, man. I have that in my little kind of rapid fires.
But it's not even rapid fire for me. It's like, this is how many, it's just every game. And some of them, they go uncalled. But this one, you just off a draw, you just butt end a guy in the mouth. Like, what? I get it, man. Like, you have the grittiness. You have, like, the passion in you. You like to fight and like to be gritty. But, like, pick your spots.
Yep.
It's been three games in a row.
It was still zeros, right?
Yeah, it's just like really stupid play. Like, I don't know. Yeah. He got frustrated and just like, what? I looking ahead to playoffs. Like I said yesterday, you could just picture this, him doing that to like Sam Bennett and the Panthers going on the power play and just shooting a big one in the net. Like, you can just picture it now. Just stop taking these penalties, man.
The thing that's so frustrating with me watching him is like, the like chippiness to his game is supposed to be additive, right? Like, he's supposed to have a little snarl. You're going to accept that that's part of it. But when the offense, and I know it's been better lately, like, he just scored a goal on his birthday, he's been getting more assists, that line's been feeling a little bit more, but it just still to me feels so like a guy who's pressing and trying to find himself on the team and trying to justify his role on the team is like, I'm the edgy guy. It's like wild card. And you're going, man, just be normal for once.
Charlie Day.
Yeah.
It's Charlie Day and too much.
Yeah. It's too much, Charlie. Like, don't cut the brakes. Just relax. Just sit in the back seat and chill out, dude. Like, let the other guys carry you sometimes. Yeah. No, I was going to say that the big ones to me are like, you know, power play doesn't score in overtime, but does get a couple of big goals. Another buzzer beater for Nyes, where he scores with like a couple seconds left.
Yeah.
Not really sure what the Sharks were doing on that goal. Like, they all went to Tavares. Like, he got the puck and they were like, it was like kids soccer, where whenever the kid has the ball, all the kids go to him. It's like, look at them. There's three guys. Like, maybe one of you wants to stay on Austin Matthews. Nice little bull rush home. Marner gets a puck to the net, like him at the top. They tip one in. But the big thing for me in this game, like, if I'm doing a big takeaway, there's just something with Matthews' body language that's just not there for me this year, man.
Yeah. We've been talking about this a lot.
Sure.
I don't even know. Like, I don't know. I'm out of theories.
Okay. Can I tell you about the injury thing though? Where it's like, okay, he hasn't been as physical in the puck battles. Like, I think that's well established, but it's like, if he's that hurt, why is he on the penalty kill then? Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that if he was banged up that they wouldn't be resting him on a back-to-back against the Sharks. There's no way that if he was that banged up, he'd be on the penalty kill
and be playing 25-55 against the Sharks on a Monday night in the second half of back-to-back.
But it's just not, as the children say, the aura is not the same. And like, you see moments in this where, again, maybe he was just gassed tonight, just like everybody else, but he felt it a little bit earlier. But I just felt like the shot at times was like rushed and he's not hitting his spots. Doesn't feel like he's able to get to his areas the same way. And then they show him like when the camera close ups, when they're cutting it away, and he looks exasperated at times. It's something's off, man. The antennas are up on this. Like, I don't know what it is, but the antennas are up.
Yeah. I mean, I think this has been like, you know, some chances tonight. I guess you'd want to have some chances again tonight against the Sharks. Mm-hmm. I thought they were better yesterday, but I don't know. I what did he end up with? He ended up with 6 shots tonight. If I told you that, you probably wouldn't believe me, but I don't know.
No, I would, because all the shots, there was only one of them that I think was like really dangerous. I was like, oh boy, that was like a real sexy classic Matthew shot. Like, a lot of them don't feel like the guy. Like, if you were watching this game tonight, and you saw those 6 shots, would you be saying that's the guy in the NHL that everyone emulates their shot after?
No, I don't know what's wrong with him. Something's wrong with him. Like, we're heading towards the deadline and you got to win the division, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how hurt he is. He plays 25 minutes here. Like, he just looks tired. Looks tired. There's not a lot of zip to his game. And like, you notice him a couple times against the crappy Sharks, but like, you would like him to be completely undeniable. Like last year, how many is he shooting past Georgiev? Like, he's scoring a hat trick in this game, guaranteed.
Yeah, this is a Matthews hat trick game. This is like the road to 70 goes through San Jose.
Like, guaranteed. Like, he was undeniably great all year last year. And it just noticed him every night, dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, quite frankly, he's a shell of himself. I know that's a strong statement, but it's just, he's not even close to the same guy. So I don't know.
Last thing for me.
I would like them to figure it out, because if they're going to go anywhere, they need him to be good. So we'll see.
It's just so strange, because again, like, this is one where it's like, we've gone from banged up theories and it's like, oh, he's banged up and he did the Four Nations thing. But then, like you said, he plays 25 minutes and he's on the penalty kill. And you're like, how hurt can you be? It's a back to back. This is the number one spot. Like, they just got Yarncroke back. Easy night for them to be like, hey, Matthews, you're not playing in this one. If he's even remotely, the team is even remotely feeling like there's a chance of re-aggravation, or it's like earlier in the season. Anyway, I think he was obviously like really hurt throughout the season. I think that he's probably still dealing with something. Maybe he's not 100%, but I just don't think it's enough to validate like nights like tonight where it just feels so off. A big penalty gets drawn tonight by Pontus. He was one of their best guys through two periods. It's really hard to say that anybody...
Pontus Forsberg tonight?
Like, yeah,
this guy was incredible. Was buzzing around.
Yeah, he really was. Like, he was very good. I think this guy's like really battling for a spot, man.
Yeah, you can sense it. Yeah. I think he's been, since the Four Nations break, I think he's actually been a really good contributing factor to the top six. Yeah. I mean, how many points does he have? I mean, he's... probably like, that was an insane dive there that we're showing here on YouTube. An insane dive. But how many points has he got? It feels like a lot. It feels like it's more since the break than he had all year. Mm-hmm. He's skating hard. He transports the puck well. He gets the puck low in the zone. Like, he does that move where he gets his arm out and he carries the puck in with one hand. Like, he seems like the type of guy that if you're a skilled player, you'd like to play with. He does a lot of the dirty work. And he's elevated his game from a place where we used to laugh about him being playing in the top six. He's just beating the puck to a square a lot of nights. Mm-hmm. And it just looks a lot better. So I don't know if he feels that his spot could be in danger. I think it still is, regardless of what happens in this little bit. But impressive night for Holmberg. So six points in six games since that return. Definitely more. Thanks, Christian. Yep. Definitely more than it was before the start, before the break.
Yeah, I think it's been a good little run for him. Ideally, like, I saw some rumors today. It was like floating around on Twitter that the Leafs like might look at Riley Smith, and I went, God, he'd be a nice fit up on that second line. Like that would work for me over what he ultimately is as a player. But what I will say for like regular season games like tonight, the thing that I really like about him on that line is, we've talked about it and it's obvious, and you can say this is hating, whatever, it's worked for them. Like, Nylander, I think, is second in the league in 5-on-5 goal scoring. He's got 35 goals this year. Like, he's on pace to have this incredible season. The offense has been brilliant, but like, he's been cheating his ass off out of D zone. Like, even tonight on that second goal, or the first goal, sorry, where it's like gets banged home. Yeah. It's because, like, partially because he's flying the zone. He's nowhere to be found on his man. And so it's like, it is what it is, but Pontus Holmberg helps you with that. Like, it's kind of the same thing when we were making the case for Riley always, was, hey, he's at his best when he can jump up in the rush and he feels like there's other guys that are there to support him. And when you think about like why Nick Robertson would never get this opportunity and why Pontus Holmberg does, right? Why Max Domi doesn't get this opportunity and why Pontus Holmberg does. It's like, it's because of the byproduct of Nylander and the trickle-down effect with the defensive game, which he's been solid at too. So yeah, fan of Pontus.
Big Cali Yarncroc return.
Yeah, that was my last thing. What was your Cali Yarncroc impression?
Undeniable.
Yeah. Like,
I thought my biggest impression of him was like Mr. Defensive Conscience, weakest stick ever on Tyler Toffoli as he shoots it in a wide open net. That was my noticeable Cali Yarncroc moment tonight.
They put him out there early.
Bear down. Like, you know, I know he scores, but like, make it hard.
Yeah.
Bear down on him. Hook him. Do something. Like, he just stands there and, like, whacks at his stick. I know what happens quick, but, like, trip him or bear down a little bit. Make it a little harder than just a tap in. But other than that, he did the thing where he, like, skates really fast and it looks like he's trying to do something and just nothing happens.
Yeah.
That's my signature. I call that the Cali. Where he just skates super hard, super fast, and then, like, he stops and then nothing happens. That's the Cali Yarncroc. The most Kyle Dubas player ever. That's just who he is.
So I'll say obviously
it'll look great on the Penguins.
Yeah, the caveat here is that obviously it's his first game back, blah blah blah. Like, you know, we're not making wide sweeping judgments.
Look like Kelly Yarncroc to me, buddy.
But yeah, but I will, that's what I was gonna say, is that I kind of think that if you're watching him tonight, maybe it was a reminder for some of the people that were like, man, injecting him into the bottom six is gonna be such a difference maker. It's like
nothing's gonna happen.
I don't know.
Nothing's different. Your bottom six is the same.
Yeah, I just didn't agree with that take. Some people were trying to propagate that, like, he was going to come in here and it was going to balance things out. I am curious to see, though, if, like, after a couple of games and he finds his legs, if they do put him up on that second line, he gets at least a chance to.
Why would you take Pontus? Why would you take Pontus Forsberg off the second line? Like, he's just – you can't take him off there. Yeah. He's been good. He's been hard on pucks. Kelly Yarncroc's not like that. Mm. And he's been – he was Kerfoot last year when they were just like trying to insert him into the top six and nothing happens. He's one goal in his playoff career for the Leafs.
Well, I was going to say too, the thing with Yarncroc is I think people got really confused by him because his first season with the Leafs, if I'm not wrong, he had 20 goals.
Scored 20 for sure.
Yeah. But if you look at the rest of his career, it's like, it's not who he is. Like, no. Let me pull up his hockey DB here for a quick second. Cause I've looked at this before. Like, he had the 20. And then, like, yeah, his next highest ever was 16, which he did twice, like, right on. Had two 15 seasons.
Yep.
And then it's like, 10, 13, 12, 7. Like, so, yeah.
If he was part of any contract out situation, I'll drive him to the airport.
For sure. He actually doesn't get talked enough about with that. No, like,
he makes 2.1. Like, he has a contract that could be moved. And I would like to not have the experience in the playoffs again.
Is it two more years left on that deal too?
I think this is, this year next. So 1.5.
Wait, Christian, is it two more years beyond this one? Or no, is it two more years total?
The second. Oh, yeah.
He just said yes. Only one.
No, one more. Yeah.
Yeah, one more after this. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else from you?
Last one, Will Smith, number two is not a forward number, brother. That is a jarring situation. Jarring. Yeah. As a man who wears number four as a forward, I know that's a little bit weird.
I was going to say, that's very...
Two is way worse. At least like Vincent LeCavalier and like there's guys who wore four. Two as a forward is offensive.
Who else did it other than
me? I don't know. Ever heard of Jean Béliveau, buddy?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. I was like, you think you're Jean Béliveau?
Yes. Me and him have very similar games. Magnificent on the ice. I missed the first round of my beer league playoffs tonight. My buddy just texted me. We lost an OT. I had to watch the lose. Yeah, I'm Béliveau. Should have had to watch the Leafs lose the Sharks in overtime to miss my first playoff. Yeah. Oh, like, zigzags are in ruins.
God. Oh, man, if only Sam Béliveau was
the magnificent there. One.
Anyways, subscribe to this podcast, leave 5 stars, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus.
Bit of a squirrely one tonight.
Yeah, well, it's just a little all over the map. Listen, I'm sorry, all right? I just didn't. I told you, I can't blame the Leafs for being tired when I felt like when I was watching, I was like, I really had the thought tonight where I went, I'm tired. I'm really tired.
So you're off Wednesday. Me and Ailish will be doing the Vegas Golden Knights and Toronto Maple Leafs. And then it's Saturday night against the Avs. So that'll be a good one. So
yeah, I'm actually really pumped for that. Yeah. Although Saturday night hockey game is up against a good hoops game, Celtics Lakers, which is always one of my favorites to tune into. Just like such an awesome. I gotta take some peeks.
Nice. That's like, fair.
I take and, some peeks at that game.
And get, but buddy, I don't know how you'll be able to miss Luke Kunin's Leafs debut on Saturday night. That's going to be a tough
honest
one.
Honest to God, Tree. Please.
Connor Tour. That's who Luke
Kunin. Connor Tour is a bang on nickname for Kunin.
Let's go. I want to watch White Lotus. Let's go.
When they flash that graphic up, though, of like showing him on the fourth line right wing of the San Jose Sharks, I'm like, we're really talking about this?
Fast.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. We'll see you, or Sammy will see you Wednesday night. I'll see you back on Saturday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Talk to you soon.
Zigzags are in ruins.
If only Sam Béliveau was
the magnificent one.